This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. We are live. Naz Marchese, my co-host, will be joining us shortly in the middle of the hour. But got a fantastic show lined up for you today. The Euro 2020 is now in the elimination stage. Huge game for the Azzurri fans yesterday. The Azzurri fans had to sweat it out a bit, but Italy's through to the next round. Some great games coming up today, chief of which is Belgium versus Portugal, a battle of the heavyweights. Belgium ranked the number one team in the world. Portugal, the defending champions, Euro champions. Looking forward to that one. Netherlands also up. Great game today, the Netherlands against the Czechs. Netherlands is seem to be restoring their glory from the past. And we've got some great, great guests for you today. We're going to get right into it. Of course, a good friend of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Cadman and Marcantonio. And we're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour one of Canada's greatest soccer players of all time, former coach of the Canadian national soccer and Olympic teams, a member of the Order of British Columbia, member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, a member of the U.S. National Soccer Hall of Fame, member of our last World Cup team in 1986, and voted one of the top 30 players of the century by CONCACAF. Talking about Bob Leonarduzzi. Bob, Carmina, you guys on the line, how are you this morning? Carmina first.
Good morning, Walter. I'm very well, and I'm pleased to have Bobby on the other line. We woke him up pretty early today.
Bob Leonarduzzi. It's I don't know how you've managed to avoid the Naz and Wally Sports Hour for 7 years. I've always exhibited a passion for soccer, or as Kaidman always. He always scolds me and always tells me I've got to pronounce it as football. So I interchange you. You've avoided us for 7 years, or I've made the mistake, or we've made the mistake of not calling you. And we're certainly thrilled that we've corrected our mistake. Thanks for joining us, Bob, and thanks. You're out in Vancouver. Thanks so much for joining and getting up so early for us.
It's my pleasure, and believe me, it's not a question of avoiding. Had you asked earlier, I would have been ready to go. But with Euro on right now, it feels like it's provided a bit of a reawakening for football fans. And I think it's been a great tournament thus far, and the best is yet to come.
It certainly is. Gentlemen, we're all, based on our backgrounds, Kahneman and myself, and obviously Leonarduzzi is I'm sure your heritage is from back in from the boot over in Italy, Bob. If I'm not mistaken, my research tells me correctly, your family's from a city up in the north called Udine. Is that correct?
Yes, that is true. Furlong, very proud of that. I actually speak, I don't speak a lot of Italian. I can understand it, but fortunately for me, I grew up with the dialect, the Friuli dialect, and unfortunately for others outside of that region of Italy, and not many other people understand what I'm talking about. So I was back there recently to visit family, and by the time I left, after about 5 or 6 days, I was fluent in Furlong. So at least I knew it was there. I just needed to unlock it.
Anyway, it's a pleasure for me, Bob. You're actually talking to a fellow Polandone, so you've got an I at the end of your name. I've got an N. So, anyways, let's get right into it. Italy, Austria. Italy came through the qualification round and were considered the favorites. Are now considered with France the favorites overall in the whole tournament. They had a struggle yesterday with Austria, and if video review didn't exist, we may not be that happy this morning. Austria scored a goal that was called back. It was very, very close, and then Italy in the overtime got their legs and got a couple of goals. Bob, first to you, and then to you, Carmina. Analyze the game for us. Italy going into the game was considered had you know, 3 years ago we weren't too happy. The team has turned itself around. First of all, your thoughts, your analysis of yesterday's game.
Well, and what you suggested is the case that the Italians were overwhelming favorites, and that by virtue of the three victories in the group stage, that puts you in a position to play on paper, what is supposed to be one of the weaker sides because of the seedings. It didn't work out that way yesterday. And I thought early on in the match that it looked a lot like the first game of the group stage against Turkey, where they had a lot of possession, weren't really breaking the Austrians down, and the Austrians were quite content early on to not concede that early goal and allow their confidence to grow. And that happened. And it's interesting what happened in the Austrian changing room at halftime, at least from a distance. I don't know exactly, but I actually thought the Austrians, one of the things that surprised me was that they really left the left flank that the Italians were attacking. And in particular, Spinazzola, he seemed to have a lot of room. And I don't think you have to be a real tactician to know that you really didn't want to allow the left side in Insigne as well that amount of space. And they were having some joy there. It seemed to solve that at the half. And in the second half, it almost looked like a complete reversal, which was shocking. It looked like the Austrians were confident and starting to knock the ball around and feeling... You got the feeling that they thought, okay, you know, we're not the massive underdog here, and let's just keep playing. And then your reference to the VAR goal, and I am a fan of VAR. I know there's a lot of purists that don't like VAR, but I'm a fan of it. It there are times where it leaves you shaking your head, but in this case, it was great for fans of Italy.
Sorry, Bob.
Go ahead.
Finish your thoughts, overtime.
It looked like it could go either way. And fortunately, you know, great goal by Chiesa. And I mean, you look at his three touches, that the ball comes into him, it bounces high, he softens the ball with his a nice touch. Second touch to avoid the Austrian defender. And then a fantastic finish. Carmen, over to you.
Yeah, Bob, I think your analysis is, right on. I felt that Italy in the first half was pretty comfortable with possession. Not as much as the other games, because I think the big difference was that Austria didn't allow Italy to play even in the first half. They were pressurizing. They had a lot of men at midfield and really difficult to penetrate. There was some success on the flank with Spinazzola and Insigne in the first half, something that I think the coach, who, by the way, Franco Foda, as the name sounds, he's also from, he was born in Germany, but his father, I was reading, is also an Italian immigrant and his mom is German. So, but he was German born, but also got some Italian blood in him, like all of us have. So I'm not sure he was rooting for Italy. I'm not saying that, but no, he made the correction. He approached the game really smartly because let's not forget, Bobby, as you know, these Austrians, a lot of them, young and a bit older, they all play in the Bundesliga, and I thought it was a mini Germany that was playing there against Italy, and you know the Germans are tough. They are, and they always make it a game. Doesn't matter what. And Austria just did what Germany does all the time. Only that they don't have the same quality players. But these were very good players, I thought. And thanks to VAR, that we went on. We got the big scare. Italy got the big scare yesterday. And I think Mancini won this game at the end because of the bench. He went right away to the bench and put fresh legs. Yeah. And it just happened that the boys that came in, Pessina, Chiesa, and Bellotti, they made the difference at the end and in the overtime with the two goals. And Bellotti assisted on the second one, and I think it was Spinazzola that played a beautiful ball to Chiesa on the flank and on the right side, and Chiesa did what you said. You know, he made two beautiful touches. You know, the first touch to control it with almost with his face, and then the second one was an amazing finish. So he's definitely a good solution for Mancini because he's got the speed, he's got the enthusiasm. Chiesa brings another dimension. And Berardi didn't have his best game yesterday. So I thought the Mancini and the VAR were the key for the win yesterday.
On that note, Bob, you've been coach of Canadian men's national soccer team, Canadian men's Olympic team. Mancini, the previous coach, I think his name was Ventura, was incredibly criticized, and properly, appropriately, but from a coach's perspective, you may see it differently. Mancini has certainly done wonders with this team. They're playing a brand of soccer that Italian soccer fans have, I wouldn't say rarely seen, but it's not the soccer that we're sort of used to, but it's a modern brand of the game. Mancini's adjustments yesterday. When you make changes in the game, and the two guys you bring in score, man, that makes you look like a genius, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's and sometimes it makes the difference, and there's other times where it's hardly noticed. But in this case, as Carmen said, all of the subs that came on impacted the final outcome, and it's fresh legs. And at the international level, when you're bringing players off the bench, and when you look at the pedigree of the players that were inserted into the match, in most cases they're often as good as the players that are on the pitch. They just haven't been able to break the starting 11. So the Mancini deserves a lot of credit for the subs that he made, and just understanding. I thought he had a calm about him, and I loved his reaction when the first goal went in. He was clearly delighted and probably feeling relieved that they managed to break the Austrians down. But I think he deserves the most credit, and tactically, got it right. And when you talk about the style of play of the Italians, I think that what happens in our sport is teams tend to have a label attached, and the catenaccio seems to be something that when Italian teams defend well, they're good at that, but they just aren't adventuresome enough, and as a result of that, I think it's easy to label the team. But right now, from the Turkey game on, in the Euros, Euro 21s, I just think that they've shown a flair, and to your point, that they quite often are criticized for not doing, and good for them. And now you're in the knockout stage, so you don't have the benefit of three games, and if you have a bad one, you can recover from it. And yesterday was a scare, and I think it was probably a positive, as crazy as that sounds, simply because moving forward, they'll know, okay, you can't underestimate any opponent, and on a given day and in a single elimination, you can't afford any slip-ups. And they got away with the VAR one yesterday, and hopefully that'll be a great experience for the upcoming games, plural.
We're talking to Bob Leonarduzzi and Kanmin and Marc Antonio, two Canadian Soccer Hall of Famers. Gentlemen, I'll turn it over to you first, Bob, then back to you, Kanmin. There are other teams in this tournament besides Italy, although we tend to focus on the Azzurri, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about some of the other great soccer teams at the tournament. France, Spain seems to be rejuvenated with their last game. I'd mentioned the Netherlands. England and Germany are headed towards a huge match. Two heavyweights and another battle of the heavyweights today. Belgium and Portugal at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Portugal with the great Cristiano Ronaldo, and Belgium ranked number one in the world by FIFA. That should be a titanic struggle. And of course, it seems like Denmark has been adopted by fans worldwide as an underdog favorite. Bob, you're a keen observer. Your thoughts on the Euro so far and how you see this progressing?
Well, as I said off the top, I think it's been a fantastic Euros and so much needed with, you know, all of us being locked in by COVID for the last 15 months. And for me, the beauty of seeing fans in the stands, and in particular, they didn't get through, but they sure caused a lot of anxiety for three very good countries, France, Germany, and Portugal. But Hungary, I just thought their first game when they had 60,000 people in the bid, I had goosebumps. I'm watching it, seeing the fans so emotional, seeing how well that the team did to actually give Portugal a good run. And the scoreline flattered Portugal, the 3-0 line. And then, you know, they take the last game. They draw against France. They go to get to play against Spain in the last match. They're 2-1 up. They're on the verge of going through to the next round, and Germany get a late goal. So I just think there are so many great stories, and in general, just a real good tournament, and exactly what all of us football lovers needed. In terms of the who's going to win, anyone can win. You just did a summary of the games that are coming up, and there are no gimmies. It's going to be a question of teams needing to do what Italy did yesterday, which is understand that in a one game format, anything can happen. And I look at Denmark and I look at, you know, 1992 when they actually won the Euros, and they were actually didn't qualify. They got in by virtue of a country being banished from the Euros, and I think it was Yugoslavia at the time. I'm not 100% sure. So they come in with nothing to, no pressure, and they go on and win the Euros. To me, and the health scare that Eriksson suffered in their first game, Christian Eriksson, I think that bonded the team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they showed yesterday how in unison they all are. I think if they continue to do what they're doing, they scored 8 goals in their last 2 games, and they look good for it. But I know that, and as you said, I think if you're an unbiased supporter and you're watching Euros, they have to be your favorites. But like I said, I'm not sure if anyone could say with certainty right now that any one of the remaining teams are locks to win the Euros.
Before I turn it over to you, Carmine, I don't know, Bob, Carmine, we've got to take a short break. Can you stay with us for a few minutes after the break?
Sure.
Okay, so we've got Bob Leonarduzzi, we've got Carmine and Marc Antonio. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville realised we all have things we should cut back on. For me half-brother Raoul, that's ordering inflatable toys. For others, it's carbs. So Pizzaville made the extra thin crust pizza. You get the same authentic Italian taste as our regular pizza, but with 2/3 less carbs. Because the last thing Raoul wants is an inflatable waist.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There's an old saying, Entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Here's to every boy who thought his Bobby Orr rookie card sounded great in the spokes of his bicycle. His only served to make yours in mint condition more valuable. And now it's payday. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise wants to buy your vintage collection of hockey, baseball, basketball, football, and soccer heroes. Now's the time to cash in while the hobby reaches new heights. If you got them, we need them. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise. Visit our store online at mintink.ca.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on the new AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, live streaming on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're thrilled to have with us today Canadian Soccer Hall of Famers Bob Lenarduzzi and Carmine Marcantonio. Gentlemen, just before we went to break, Bob, you had sort of given us an analysis of what we might expect for the rest of the Euro tournament. Carmine, I'll turn it over to you.
Like both of you have said, I mean, this could be anybody's tournament because now you got the heavyweights. Italy got a big scare yesterday. And I think now they got nothing to lose because they, in the quarters, they're going to have either Belgium, now, like you said, see the number one in the world, or Portugal, defending champion. So, you know, they could even lose that game. Hopefully, as an Italian, I hope they're going to go all the way, but it's going to be difficult from now on. And then, even if they win that one game in the semis, they could find, France on their way. Obviously, France. We know that France is one of the top, if not the top team, I think on paper. But it's going to be difficult. And on the other side, let's not forget we got the heavyweight of England, Germany. And but Holland, they look very good, like you said, Walter. Holland looks very strong this year, and then you got the Cinderella, Denmark, and let's not forget Spain and Croatia. Sweden hasn't got a goal against. They could be a dark horse. So, in one game, like Bobby Lenarduzzi said, one game situation, anything can happen. Italy yesterday, I was reading something on Italian paper this morning, and Mancini said, right now things should be easy for us. And I believe that for Italy, the game was yesterday, because they got the scare, VAR, if it wasn't for VAR, as we mentioned, and I believe, like Bob Lenarduzzi, I believe in the technology, and rightly so, it was an offside call, which it was. And otherwise, if it wasn't for VAR, Austria would have gone probably through. So I called it. Maybe it was a bit. It's biased on my way, but a final, Italy, England. England is due. They're gonna play the semis. They're gonna play all their games at home. They haven't won anything since 1966. And the reason why I say a bit biased, because obviously I'm Italian background and my wife is English, so we're going to have a derby
You have a good one in there. And thankfully, Italy overcame the Wembley jinx yesterday. The Italian teams have never done well at Wembley, so hopefully we have that one in the past. Gentlemen, I do want to take the opportunity, with two fine gentlemen that have had such a great influence on Canadian soccer over the years, to talk about Canadian soccer. I don't want to let that opportunity go by, but I have a natural question from curiosity, Bob. I want to ask you. When Italy wins a game here in Toronto, and it happened again yesterday. It happened the other night, and all the Italian flags come out. We all march down to St. Clair. Kahneman noted last night there are numerous Italian people with flags, and in Woodbridge they're going crazy. What's it like in Vancouver?
I'm not sure it's the same magnitude, and obviously the population of Ontario is greater than British Columbia, but absolutely the Azzurri supporters are out in full force, and I actually watched the first game against Turkey amongst a group of anxious Italian supporters at the Italian Cultural Center, and if there is success for Italy, then for sure there will be all the Italians turning out to savor that success and to celebrate amongst one another. And I think that's it. It's if Wales had their success in at Euros, a few tournaments back. The same happened in the Greek community. I think that's the beauty of our sport. It's global. There's a passion that, regardless of whether you're in your country of origin or not, you support your national team and you revel in their success. So I'm hoping that will be the case come the final. And I think Carmen did a great job of assessing what the options are, and I didn't hear the comment or see the comment that Mancini had made about it's easy from here on in. Obviously, it's not easy, but if they had strolled through that match yesterday against Austria, then maybe you don't have that edge that having to go through a match like yesterday against a relative unknown in Austria. And Carmen's right; they have fantastic players, but no one would have expected that they would have actually got the result against the Italians. So, looking forward to the rest of the tournament, just as I have enjoyed all that's taken place thus far. And I will jump in with this: if you were to ask me for a favorite moment in the Euros, I would suggest that Patrick Schick's goal against Scotland, where he lobbed them from just inside the Scottish half, was one that I watched over and over and over again, simply because he had his back to goal. So the vision to on the turn know where the Scottish keeper was and hit the quality shot that he did was just a real highlight of the whole tournament for me.
Bob, we'd be remiss if we didn't take the opportunity to discuss with you, who has been involved in Canadian soccer at almost every level and has made incredible contributions to the sport of football/soccer in Canada. You're obviously, I'm sure, watching with great pride what's going on with our team right now. We got through the last round, and now we're headed to the competition where if we finish in the top three, we make it to the World Cup. As we march towards World Cup soccer in 2026, some of which will, in fact, be played in Canada. Exciting times in Canadian soccer. You must be proud. Your thoughts on the current Canadian national soccer team and prospects going forward?
Well, a lot has been made of the fact that we haven't qualified for the hex, and now it's the octonal, whatever, octagon, whatever you want to call it. But we haven't qualified since 1994, and that makes me feel old because I was the coach. 1998, we qualified for the hex in 94 and 98. And so when I hear that, it's, oh my God, that's a long, long time ago. But thankfully we have got there, and now the hard work starts. There were tricky stages throughout the qualifying for the Octagon, but I always felt that we would get there, and now that we're in amongst the top in CONCACAF, and when you look at the and it's really the attacking side that is so much different from when I played or when I coached, and I don't mean that in any disrespect to guys like Alex Bunbury, Paul Pescasolito. We had some wonderful attacking options, but now you've got guys like an Alfonso Davies, who obviously came through the Whitecaps residency program. Now, not just another player at a higher level, and actually the highest level, but a player that has won throughout the last year. He's been referenced as one of the top players in the world. And Jonathan David, the Cavallini up front. You've got attacking options that should allow us not to be too concerned about having to simply just defend and sit on a lead if we get one. So that, to me, is the most exciting aspect of this team. And I've known John Herdman for quite a while, and I know that his approach to games is he leaves nothing to chance, and seems like they've got a good atmosphere in amongst the group. So I'm extremely excited about what's upcoming, and it's not long. I think it's within the next couple of months that the qualifying actually starts. So I will be watching and cheering on the group so that we can get back to the World Cup before in 2022, before we're a part of the hosting in 2026. And I look at 2026 as an opportunity for Canada and the United States to just take the game to the next level, just by virtue of the interest that there will be in 2026. And with each World Cup that goes by, there's just more and more interest, and not just from the diehards, but I think from the casual fan that looks at Euros and the World Cup, and I think sometimes wonders, wow, like, how is what am I missing here? And I think we just need to convert more of those North American fans that probably don't understand the subtleties of the sport, but understand that it's by far our sport is by far the most involved sport globally, and the other sports can't even touch it. So very exciting times for the game in Canada as a result of the team that we've got to represent us, and just the timing of next year in Qatar, and then also the 2026 when it's in our backyard.
Carmenet, we only got about a minute and a half before I have to let you guys go. This has been it's been a thrill talking soccer, a passion of mine. You and Bob go back a long way. Played some, I'm sure, fought in the trenches. Were teammates. We were competitors back in the North American Soccer League back in the 70s. Bob, your recollection. Any favorite story about any battles you fought with Bob or against them, Carmenet?
Well, first of all, the bit of Italian that he knows Fiulano, but the bit of Italian that he knows, I taught him that when we were teammates with the Canadian national team. And now with Bobby, we go back to 1976 when my rookie year, and he had just come back from England. So we're pretty well the same age, and we go back that far. And that's a long time ago. So, Bobby has always been Mr. Football, Mr. Soccer in Vancouver. I mean, as you mentioned, he's got an amazing curriculum behind him, being a player for the Whitecaps, becoming a coach, and eventually becoming the president of the Whitecaps, and then coaching the national team. So he's Mr. Canada Soccer. I mean, it's the history in Canada. It's pretty well Bobby Lenarduzzi when it comes to soccer. But I'm very blessed, really, and honored to have him as a good friend of mine, going back to the days. And when we played against each other, he would kick me, I would
give him a talk to him. Then we would go out for a beer after the game, and that's what friendship is all about. And you know, every time I call Bob, he's always, you know, like even in this case, I called him to be your guest, and he woke up at 6 o'clock. Yeah. That tells you the kind of man Bobby is, you know.
Anyways, on that note,
hey,
guys,
before we finish up, can I just give a quick? So one of Carmen's nickname, and you may not know this, is Elegante, and it's so aptly describes him because he, when he played the game, he did it with an elegance, and I don't know where the nickname came from, but to this day I remember it, and it's so appropriate. And like Carmen suggests, always a good friend, and through thick and thin. So much appreciate being on the show with him today.
Yeah, it's certainly our pleasure. We were hoping to have on another good friend of yours, Roberto Iarrucci.
Yes,
unfortunately, we weren't able to connect with him. I probably crossed signals somewhere, so I'll take responsibility for that one. I may have given him the wrong message, but I'll straighten that out after the show. Listen, gentlemen, this has been a distinct pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. Bob, once again, my apologies. Should have called you a long time ago. On a go-forward basis, we'll certainly, hopefully, you can join us again. And we always love to talk my passion, football/soccer. Thanks so much, Bob. Thanks so much. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Walter. Take care, Bobby. Thanks.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, gentlemen. We've got to go to break, and we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk some NHL playoffs, and who better than TSN analyst, TSN co-host on First Up, Carlo Koliakovo. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville announced the Medium Gourmet Pizza Special. Get a Medium Gourmet Pizza for just $13.99. That's like flying first class when you only paid economy. You're up front, sipping champagne and stretching out in your luxuriously wide berth. Instead of having somebody kick the back of your seat, then the guy in front of you decides to recline his
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
Here's to every boy who thought his Bobby Orr rookie card sounded great in the spokes of his bicycle. His only served to make yours in mint condition more valuable. And now it's payday. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise wants to buy your vintage collection of hockey, baseball, basketball, football, and soccer heroes. Now's the time to cash in while the hobby reaches new heights. If you got them, we need them. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise. Visit our store online at mintink.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carley understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carley, the intelligent choice.
You won't remember that Real Space Media was once Real Tours Media. What you'll never forget is how they helped you, the real estate agent, sell homes. Or you, the business owner, show off your four walls. Real Space Media has made a name for itself, creating virtual tours and walkthrough floor plans using 3D technology that's light years ahead. In the age of COVID, what better way to see a space safely than through the digital lens of, what were they called again? RealSpaceMedia.ca. Got a space to showcase? Check out Real Space.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me now, as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz.
Good morning, Wally. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much.
Market Lane was a disaster last night.
Anyways, let's get into that. Just before I know we got Carlo Koliakovo on the line. Just a note to our listeners: it's time for the Naz and Wally's. Naz and Wally are getting a little bit older. It's time for our usual summer break. Zoomer Radio with Naz and I for the last few years, especially since COVID, we've been running this thing every Sunday. We've taken the summers off the last couple of years. The only regret I have this summer is Italy's still in the Euro, and
man, I'm going to regret it if I'm not on the air the day Italy Italy wins the championship. But let's see what happens. But to our listeners, this is our last show for this season. We'll be back again, God willing, in September. We're pleased to welcome to the Nazzawali Sports Hour the host of TSN's First Up in the Morning, Carlo Colaiacovo. Good morning, Carlo. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Nice that you guys selected me, to be a guest on your show on your farewell tour this summer. So
yeah,
I appreciate that. I always love coming on with you guys, and I wish you nothing but greater times ahead when you get to enjoy your vacation here. Because as it looks in this province, especially in this city, it looks like we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel. So
yeah,
thankful for that.
Oh, thank you so much, Carlo. And yeah, you're going to conclude the season with us. So we always say that
save the best for last, right?
Yeah, we save the best for last.
The best when you fit you in the system.
Anyways, Carlo, you tired this morning? You partying in Market Lane in Woodbridge or on St. Clair a little bit too much last night?
I wish I was. I was watching the game with my brothers and my dad, and it was pretty awesome to see them come out with a victory, as we all expected. But they did it in dramatic fashion. And the thing I love about these soccer tournaments that we get to see every 2 years, and all the World Cup and the Euro split between 2 years, is you really get to see the passion come out in our province, in our country, of all the different nationalities that exist here. And in particular, me being Italian pride, love the way, Italians gather and celebrate victories, because, they don't come around very often. And when they do, they might as well celebrate it like they'll never come around again. And I don't think it should be a celebration where you're, where you're hoisting a championship yet, but it's a nice way for people to show their unity with, their backgrounds and their nationalities and come together. It's funny. There's a saying I love to share with people about being Italian is some way, somehow you're related to somebody. we see images of that, with Market Lane and St. Clair and, parties in Hamilton and Kitchener and all across the world of Italians celebrating, and not just Italians, all the other different cultures too. And I love it. I just, continue to pray that people do it safely, and don't use it as a chance to riot or dirt, to create vandalism, because
that never happens in a celebration after a soccer game. We're just out there with grins and having a good time. Violence is never part of it. Interesting enough, we were talking to Cadman and Mark Antonio and Bob Leonard Dutzi just before you. I didn't realize, according to Cadman, there's 200 million people around the world of Italian heritage. I found that number quite astounding. Anyways, guys, let's move on, Carlo, because you're our hockey guy, and we got the Stanley Cup Finals in July. Lo and behold, Tampa, who is certainly expected to be there, the much maligned Montreal Canadiens, who I wouldn't say barely qualified, but they were 16th, the last team. And they're in the Stanley Cup Finals, and nobody's writing them off now. They were written off before the Toronto series, before Winnipeg, before Vegas. And now they're in against the Stanley Cup champions, and they're not being written off. There's certainly a path here for the Montreal Canadiens to win this Stanley Cup. And the path starts in net, and it starts with the big four horses completely in front. Carlo, analyze this series for us.
Well, let's go back and say it all started with their victory against the Maple Leafs. I hate to continue to rub it into Maple Leaf fans, but Montreal Canadiens would not be here if it wasn't their momentum and the positivity and the confidence that they built coming back from a 3-1 deficit against the Maple Leafs. And I think you're right. I don't think anybody should count them out because of the way they've gotten here. They've found a formula that has worked and that has had success, and that has given them success. And the formula is keep the games as close as you possibly can and trust in your defense and your goaltending and be a very opportunistic team and capitalize on your chances. And as you saw with each series, they got off to a good start off the gate after the Maple Leafs. They played with the lead for most part, and this team, when they play with the lead, They're very, very tough to generate any chances against because they just they collapse. They play that good structure of defense. They don't let you get the zone. They won't let you stay in the zone. And when you do, they don't let Carey Price not see any of the shots. You know, the saves that he's going to make are the saves that he sees. And, you know, credit to the defense, credit to the forwards. They've kept a lot of the star players on the outside. They haven't really given up the middle of the ice. And when you're chasing against Montreal, that's when they're at their best. And as you saw against the Vegas Golden Knights, a potent offensive team, you know, when they played with the lead in game one, Montreal couldn't catch up. But when Montreal was getting the lead and they made that a priority, when they got the lead, they made life difficult on Vegas. And I don't see how you can't think they could possibly do the same thing against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, just look at the opponents that they had to beat to get here. Everybody counted them out. Nobody gave them a chance against the Leafs. Nobody gave them a chance against the Jets. Nobody gave them a chance against the Vegas Golden Knights, especially having to go into Vegas in a packed house, something this team has not experienced at all playing in, and winning two road games. So I'm finally a believer in them, even though it stings. But you've got to appreciate the way they've gotten here. This is playoff hockey that they've adopted. And a lot of it is because of the confidence that Carey Price gives him, who, at the end of the day, is playing like a $10.5 million player should play. And, you know, they're finding a way. And you've got to give them credit for doing that. And obviously with Tampa Bay, this is the team everybody expected to be here. And kudos to them for getting back here because everybody knows how tough that is to do. I really do like Montreal's chances in this series. You know, other than the news that came out this morning, which is probably going to be a very impactful, decision on Montreal with Joel Armia being on the COVID list and being unavailable. That line of Armia, Eric Staal, and Corey Perry have been difference makers every time they've been on the ice. So that could be a very, impactful decision or move that goes against Montreal right now if he's not available for the series. But you know, Montreal just doesn't seem to phase with anything that's counted against them. They find a way to persevere, and I'm really interested and excited to watch this series. Hopefully Montreal can find a way to get more fans in the stands, because if you can help me understand how there can be 50,000 fans outside the rink and only 3,500 inside the rink, that would be something that could help solve my Inspector Gadget clue.
Nez?
Carlo, the Canadians make the other teams look slow. Vegas, yes. Toronto, Winnipeg. That takes a lot of discipline to do game-by-game basis, right?
Yeah, it sure does. And that's a credit to their success. They've adopted winning a boring way. I mean, even though as much as we want to, as fans, watch exciting hockey, the way Montreal built their team was to find success playing this way. And they've done a good job breaking down their opponents and shutting down their opponents. And they've been doing it mostly because they've played with the lead, like I said. And when you're playing with the lead, you're forcing the other team to chase. And against this team that has been very disciplined in their structure, has been very good on the penalty kill, if you've got to chase against this team, your chances aren't very good in coming out with a result that you want. So credit to Montreal. I think I'm going to say the same thing against this Tampa series that I said going into Vegas. And when nobody gave Montreal a chance, I said, I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, I still think Vegas is going to win the series, but there's definitely a chance Montreal can win because they've gotten to this point. If they can find a way to play with the lead against the Tampa Bay Lightning and force the Tampa Bay Lightning to play out of their structure, and they're probably the deepest team that the Canadiens will face, but I don't think that'll be an issue because they're getting contributions from all around their lineup through four lines and six defense. So, they've done it too without their coach last series. You know, you'd think that would be an advantage that the Vegas Golden Knights would have had too, but it just doesn't seem to faze this group. They have found a formula that has been working to get to this point, and people like to call them a team of destiny. And they've gotten here, I think, because of it. I mean, they've gotten some lucky bounces. They've gotten some lucky situations with other teams playing without their best players. But ultimately, if you get to this point, not only do you got to be good, you got to be lucky. And if Montreal can be that team of destiny that everybody, likes to quote them as, they have a definite chance of winning a Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah, they're, looking at the Tampa, I mean, Kucherov doesn't look like he's going to be the same. He's obviously fighting off some injury that impacted his play. you know, the Islanders gave Tampa everything they could handle. It was the most intense last 2 minutes of a hockey game I think I've ever watched. That was just unbelievable. But you know, you get, you know, 18,000 fans or however many fans they have, and that adds to it. I want you to respond to this, Carlo. This really comes down to the irresistible force against the immovable object. That sports analogy has been used a lot of times in the past, and it comes down to Tampa Bay's power play operating at a 37% efficiency against a Montreal Canadiens penalty kill that nobody can remember the last time this team gave up a goal on the power play. It's been that long. I've never seen a team like Montreal, a penalty kill. I don't know where they're at now, but I think they're over. They haven't given one up in the last 40 chances or close to it. What's Montreal doing on their penalty kill that is so, for lack of a better term, so damn successful?
Yeah, well, one thing they've been doing really well is they've been winning the original faceoffs, and they've been winning those faceoffs and dumping the puck down the ice. And when you do that, now you're telling the team to waste 20 or 30 seconds trying to get into the zone. And, you know, when they're doing that, they're doing a good job holding the line. But they're being really aggressive. And this is what good penalty kills do when they're reeling with confidence, is they know they're playing with one last man on the ice. And they're forcing the other team to stay on the outside. And they're basically saying, make three or four really good passes to try to score against us. And teams haven't been able to do that. You know, credit to the Montreal defense. Not only are they being really aggressive, but they're getting in shot lanes, and they're sacrificing themselves with shot blocks and, you know, alternating shooting lanes and stuff like that. And then when you got Carey Price in net, who when he has a chance to see the puck, there's a greater chance he's going to save it than not. I mean, just look at the goals that have gone in against them. The stuff that he has seen has not gotten by him. And, you know, that, again, goes to, you know, boast the team in front of you is confident. So, I like, as good as the teams that they've played with Toronto, Winnipeg, and Vegas have been, you know, Tampa's the cream of the crop here when it comes to power play. You know, and everybody says, you know, what do you need to win in the playoffs? You need a better power play or a better penalty kill? Well, I think it's pretty clear that if your penalty kill is reeling, you can have success in the playoffs because you're keeping pucks out of your net, and that's what Montreal's been able to do. But they're being very disciplined, too. They're not really giving up many chances, and I think, you know, they've used the first two or three games in each of the series to really fluster the other team's top players. And when those other teams are flustered and frustrated, they don't have much confidence when they're out there on the power play. So it's a little bit of everything that's been combined that Montreal has been doing that has really frustrated the opponent, eliminated any type of confidence that they could possibly have or need in those power play situations. And then when you've got a world-class goalie like Carey Price in net, it makes it even more difficult. So if you're Tampa Bay, they've done a really good job when getting possession in zone. They're probably the best team at making one-touch plays in the offensive zone on the power play. And they have two trigger guys that can shoot the puck with Kucherov, actually even three if you include Hedman on that. I think that's a big key to a power play success, is when you can establish a shot mentality from anywhere on the ice, it really makes the penalty kill guys move. And I think if the Tampa Bay can establish that right from the start, they might be able to have some success doing so. But, you know, I think the one thing you can take out of this series is not only is it dynasty versus destiny, but you've got a matchup with the two best goalies in the world. So if you think you're going to see a lot of goals scored in this series, which I know fans don't want to hear, you know, maybe you should adjust your expectations for this series, because I think it's going to be a defensive battle, and I honestly think it's going to be a very close series. As much people want to think that Tampa Bay is going to blow them out, I don't see that. I actually think this might go seven games.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking to Carlo Kolejak about. Carlo, we're going to let you go, and we're going to thank you for helping us wrap up our seventh season. Hopefully we'll be back, God willing, for our eighth season in the fall, and we'd love to chat with you. And hopefully we'll be, when we chat with you next time, hopefully Italy will have won the Euro by then. Carlo?
That would be awesome. Hey, guys, congrats on 7 years. Good luck on eight. I appreciate you guys having me on and being a part of it. And I look forward to being a part of it even more moving forward.
Thank Carlo Koliakovo. He's doing great
work. Have a great holidays.
Same to you, Carlo. Carlo is doing some great work down at TSN. If you get a chance, listen into him. Always entertaining. Naz, 7 years, my friend. Didn't think when we started this off 7 years ago we'd still be doing this. I got a few thoughts. I want to thank Brandon, our producer. We've been doing this remotely. He's done a fantastic job for us. Man, I look forward, Naz, to see you the days we can do it back in studio. And we're in there and we're across the desk from each other. Our sponsors, Pizzaville, all the good people, the Contardi family, Alta Infinity, John Amendola, our guy at Real Space at Minting Sports Cards, going back to Steel's Paint, all the people who've supported us over 7 years. Thanks so much, Naz. I'll give you an opportunity to say a few words.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everybody, and we'll be back in September. Hopefully, the Blue Jays will be in the.
And we have the Blue Jays. Hopefully, we come back and we cheer the Blue Jays on to a successful stretch run. Anyways, we've run out of time. To all our listeners, thanks so much for supporting us. We really appreciate it. We wish everybody a great summer. Stay healthy, be safe, and talk to you soon, hopefully.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.